Now, John chapter 6, in these earlier verses, our Lord fed a group of people. It was a large multitude. There were 5,000 men alone. He fed them with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. Verse 10, Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." There was much grass in that place, so the men sat down in number, about 5,000. And Jesus took the 5 loaves, and when he'd given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Now these people were so impressed with that miracle that they wanted to make our Lord a king. It says in verse 14, "Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, they said, 'This is of a truth that prophet.'" I've dealt with that so often, I won't do it again. "That prophet Moses wrote about, that should come into the world. When therefore Jesus perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain alone, himself alone." Now, when our Lord had left them, he left his disciples there too. He departed alone. So verse 16, "And when the evening was now come, his disciples went down into the sea. And they entered into a ship, and they went over the sea towards Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them, but they were sailing from this place over to Capernaum. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew, and when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, coming toward the ship. And they were afraid. But he said to them, 'It is I. Be not afraid.' Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Now the next day, these people whom he had fed, these 5,000 men and more, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there save the one, that one whereunto his disciples were entered, and Jesus was not with his disciples when they went into the boat, but the disciples had gone away alone, albeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, and after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, and his disciples were not there, they wanted to find him. So they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they were baffled. They said, 'Rabbi, when did you come over here?' And Jesus answered them," now listen carefully, "'Truly, truly, I say unto you, you seek me, not because you saw the miracles.'" Turn to John 2. These are the people over here in John 2 that sought him because of the miracles. You see, these people were attracted to Christ not because he was the Savior, not because he was the Redeemer, not because he was the Christ, but they sought him for one purpose: physical and material blessings. That's why they sought him. Physical and material blessings, health and wealth. John chapter 2, verse 23. "Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name," or said they did, or clamored after him, or sought him like these people, "when they saw the miracles which he did." Well, Nicodemus said that. He said, "You got to be from God. No man could do these things except God be with him." Another crowd said, "You ever known anybody give sight to the blind before? Make the lame to walk?" Verse 24, but Jesus did not commit himself to them. He didn't reveal himself to them. They had a bad motive. They had a bad goal. They weren't concerned with a relationship with God, to know the living God, to be forgiven of sin, to have life everlasting. They were interested in this world, materialism, physical blessing, health and wealth. And Christ did not commit himself to these people. He knew them. He knew them. And needed not that any should testify what's in a man. He knew what was in them. He knew their motive. He knew why they followed him. He knew why they were there. He knew why they were seeking him. They wanted something from him that they couldn't supply for themselves. And that's materialism and physical blessings. And these folks here, now let's read where I left off there in verse 26. Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles. That other crowd is interested in that. You seek me because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. That's why you're seeking me, because I fed you. And then he said to them, I tell you, labor not, work not, endeavor not for meat that perisheth. The things of this earth are temporary. They're gone after they're used. But labor for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. This is why Christ came. I'm come that they might have life. I'm come that they might have a righteousness. That's why I'm come. Labor for that meat which endureth, which is not typical or temporary, but is eternal, unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give you. Not sell to you, but give you. Give unto you. The Son of Man give you life. Give you righteousness. Give you holiness. Give you a union with God. For him hath the Father sealed. God the Father hath sealed. What's this sealed him? God's designated him. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is Christ Jesus the Lord. Him hath the Father designated. Him hath the Father appointed. Him hath the Father authorized. Him hath the Father revealed and manifested. Hold that place and turn to Romans 3. There's one God. There's one mediator between God and men, and that's the man, Christ Jesus. In Romans 3, verse 25, listen to this. Well, let's read verse 24. Being justified freely, he said, which the Son of Man will give you, being justified freely by his grace, not by our works, by his grace, through his work, the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth. Whom God, that's what Christ said here, whom the Father hath sealed, whom the Father hath set forth. God has set him forth in promise, in prophecy, in the Old Testament pictures, now in person, to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare God's righteousness. That can only be seen in Christ and can only be received in Christ. For the remission of sins, even those that are past, the Old Testament people, through the long-suffering of God. To declare, I say at this time, God's righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Don't labor for those things that are just passing fancies. The fashion of this world fadeth away. Change and decay, and all around me I see, oh, thou who changest not, abide with thee. Then they said in verse 28, then said they unto him, well, what shall we do? What shall we do? Give us something to do. What shall we do? Now they're seeking for a relationship with God by doing something. They're seeking for righteousness in life, not by faith, not as a gift, not by Christ, but by works. So tell us what we can do that we might work the works of God. What can we do that's agreeable to God? What can we do that's acceptable to God? What can we do that'll merit eternal life? What can we do that'll get the attention of the Almighty? Give us something to do. And Jesus answered, "This is the work of God. This is the work of God. This is what's well pleasing in God's sight, that you believe on Him whom God has sent, on Christ. This is the work of God. This is what is well pleasing to God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. This is what is well-pleasing in His sight. This is that without which no man can please God, that you believe on me," Christ said. "This is that without which no work is a good work. This is that without which no work is a good work. No man can please God doing anything. I give my body to be burned. I bestow my goods to feed the poor. That's a good work. Not unless it's done in faith. Not unless it's done for the glory of Christ. This is that which is pleasing to God. This is the work of God. This is that without which no work is a good work. It's a self-promoting work. It's a self-righteous work. It will help somebody along the way. But God does not recognize it being a good work. I tell you a proof of that. Many will say unto me in the day of judgment, Lord, we preached in your name. We cast out devils in your name. We did many wonderful works in your name. But I shall say unto them, depart from me. I never knew you. You that work iniquity. That's right. Without faith, it's impossible please God. Anybody in this congregation that's not a believer in Christ cannot please God no matter what you do. You are denying His Son. You are crucifying His Son over again. We'll not have this man reign over us. You're making God a liar by not believing the record He had given concerning His Son. You cannot do anything. You may die for your country. You may die rescuing a baby from the hands of a kidnapper. God is not pleased. That's right. Don't question me on that. That's so. It's impossible to please God without faith in Christ. You're a nobody in God's sight if you're not in Christ. I hate to be so hard, but that's the only language people understand. People don't understand this tiptoeing through the tulips. They understand one thing, tell them like it is. That's right. This is the work of God. This is the work of God that you believe. You know what he's saying? This is God's work to enable you to believe. It's God that worketh in you to will and to do his good pleasure. You can't do his will and good pleasure unless he enables you. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. We're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. It's God who worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. It's given to you not only to suffer for him, but to believe on him. Honestly. Faith's the gift of God. This is the work of God that you believe. This is work that pleases God because this is God's work. That's right. God's the giver of faith. Christ is the object of faith. God's Word's the foundation of faith. Eternal life's the end of faith. That's the reason the disciples prayed, Lord, increase my faith. preaching, the man said, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Don't let me be an unbeliever." Well, they didn't understand. Listen to verse 30. Then they said to him, what sign do you show? You see, the people of Israel were always requiring a sign and wonders. They wanted to see a sign. Well, when they saw one, they sought for another. They were never satisfied. Show us a sign. What sign do you show that we may see and believe thee? What do you work? What sign? He just fed 5,000 of them. They said in verse 31, "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert." You remember the manna called manna? What is it? Well, you said, "Tell us what it is." Well, that's what it's called. What is it? That's what the word manna means. What is it? They'd get up in the morning and there'd be this white bread over the ground, like coriander seed. Sweet, wonderful taste, like honey. And they'd go out and gather enough for each day. You couldn't gather enough for the next day or a week ahead, it'd rot. You had to get sufficient for the day. Give us this day our daily bread. And that went on for 40 years. God fed them with manna. Manna. And they said, they reminded the Lord Jesus, they said, "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. It's written he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Now listen. Listen carefully. Here's the most vital point of my message. This message is entitled, "The Bread of God." Our Lord said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven." That bread didn't come from heaven. That manna did not come from the third heaven. You know, there's more than one heaven. There's a third heaven. That's the throne of God. That's the dwelling of God. That's where Christ said to the thief, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." That's where our mediator is, at the right hand of God, where he intercedes. Well, this bread didn't come from that place, the throne of God. It came from this heaven, where the clouds are. That's right. That's where it came from. See, there's a heaven where the clouds are, and there's a heaven where the planets are, and then there's a heaven where God is, where God dwells in the heavens. Well, they said he gave them bread from heaven. Christ said he didn't give you that bread from heaven. God created that bread. It's not celestial bread, or it wouldn't have rotted. And if they'd eaten it, they'd live forever if it came from heaven. But he said, "Moses didn't give you that bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven." This bread I'm talking about came from that third heaven. The lamb in the midst of the throne. This bread is God himself, the life of God, the Son of God, the Christ of God, the bread, the living water. This bread came from heaven itself. This is the true bread. That little word, true, really from heaven, really from the throne. God was in Christ. God left his throne in Christ, though he never left it. Can't explain that. He never left the bosom of the Father, but he came down here. He's the bread, the true bread. What's this word true? Turn to John 1, verse 9. There's a lot of light, but this John 1, 9 says this was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. This is the true light. He was in the world, and the world knew him not. True light. Look at John 15, 1. He uses this frequently, our Lord does. John 15, 1. "I'm the true vine. My Father's the husbandman." This is the true bread, the true light, the true vine. Look at Ephesians 4, verse 24. Ephesians 4, 24. Listen. And Paul writes, "Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Not just feigned holiness. A holiness which has its expression in things I do. This is true holiness. Look at Hebrews 8, verse 2. The true life, the true vine, true holiness. And Hebrews 8, verse 2 says, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, the true temple of God, which God pitched, not man. Oh, where our interest ought to be. True tabernacle. A couple more. Hebrews 10. Look at this. And let's approach God with what? Well, it's time to go to church. I need to go to church because it's a proper thing to do. It's what give an example for my children and hear what Mahan has to say. But Hebrews 10:22, let us draw near with a true heart. That's for seriously, a true heart. This is no place to be out of habit. Honestly, this is no place to be to play church, to seek social contact, to improve my business or my reputation. This is the place where you approach the true God. He won't fool with anything else. That's... And then 1 John 5, listen to this. This is a word that our Lord uses, 1 John 5, verse 20, frequently. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. Lots of religion, lots of messiahs, lots of preachers, lots of prophets, lots of gods today. But we may know him that is true, and we're in him that is true. Even in his Son, Jesus Christ, this is the true God. This is the true God. This is life eternal. Now let's go back to my text. Moses didn't give you bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he. The bread of God is not it. The bread of God is not manna. The bread of God is he. The water of God is he. Life of God is he, which cometh down from heaven himself and gives his life unto the world. Well, they still didn't understand. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore, continually, give us this bread. That's what the woman at the well said. Just give me this water so I won't come back here to draw water. I won't have to draw water anymore. He said, woman, you can drink of this water, and you'll thirst again. But if you drink of the water I'm talking about, the true water of life, never thirst again. And Jesus said to them again, I am the bread of life. That's what he said to Martha, I am the resurrection. The resurrection is not a doctrine. The resurrection is not a creed. The resurrection is not an act. It's a person. Because I live, you live. Because you're in me, you'll never die. I'm life. Life can't die. Eternal life can't die. You can sleep. You can't die. You can't cease to exist. He that believeth on me shall never die. And he that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. You eat this bread, you'll never hunger, never thirst again. Never, you'll never seek another religion. You'll never seek another hope. You'll never seek another peace. You'll never seek another rest. You'll never hunger for a knowledge of God. You'll know God. He that cometh to me will never hunger. Never again. Never thirst. Not in this vein. You keep having to feed this old body here, but this soul fed on Christ. Look at verse 50. This is the bread that comes down from heaven. If a man eat thereof, he'll never die. You receive me, you'll never hunger again.
and you'll never die.
Look at verse 51. I'm the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat this bread, he'll live forever. He'll live forever. He'll never hunger, never thirst, never die, and live forever. Look at verse 54. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. I'll raise him up. Look at verse 56. And he that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. God dwells in you. I'm the bread. I'm the light. I'm the life. I'm the true tabernacle. I'm the true God. And he that eateth my flesh, that's coming to Christ. I'm the bread of life. He that cometh to me, that's what it said. He that cometh to me will never hunger. He that cometh to me will never die. He that cometh to me will live forever. He that cometh to me, I'll raise him up at the last day. He that cometh to me, God dwells in him. God dwells in. Well, there's the conclusion. Verse 36. I said this to you. You've seen me. You've heard me. You've witnessed the miracles. And yet you don't believe. But I'm comforted. And is his mission a failure? Is his promise of none effect? Oh, no. Listen. All that my Father giveth me, they'll come to me. They shall. And him that cometh, I'll in no wise cast out. You see, I didn't come down from heaven to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is my Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he had given me, I won't lose a one. I'll raise them up at the last day. This is the will of him that sent me. Everyone that seeth the Son, seeth what I'm saying. Seeth what he preaches. He's the bread, the true bread, the true temple, the true life, the true God. And believes it. He sees that and believes it. I have everlasting life. I'm going to raise him up at the last day. That's the bread.